you are walking down the pier in San Diego, and a guy approaches you. Well, I even down in San Diego, and you're in the West End, right? Having a nice night. And a guy with a clipper comes up and says, I want you to sign this petition that we're going to have mandatory euthanasia. What is he asking you?
He's still old people.
Make it legal.
They say people like Kelly put them to sleep.
Well, not to say well, but the thing is, it's not as... Kelly, we're going to be thankful. And thank you, Pastor Newton, for helping me. Thank you. Okay. Basically, what he's asking is, we're gonna kill old people because they're costing too much money. And you know, only a couple people even objected to that.
Yeah, I heard somebody say they got the right to live.
Do we not? One person said that. Everyone else like grabbing the clipboard.
Yeah.
Grabbing the clipboard out of his hand. That's chilling. Okay.
Is it because they're not listening or because they don't care?
Know what that means?
I don't know. Whatever. It's pretty much
but he the same result. Yeah. He tries to tell what it means.
Yeah. Suffice to say, as Christians, we should find this appalling.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
Because snuffing out people with disabilities is just the next step. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's this Sunday, and we have special time, a little extra time to look at something that, especially since we are in an election year, this is something we need to be talking about. So that's what we're going to do today. Now, as the Apostle Paul would say, let us reason together, shall we? So we're going to do just that. And you know, I'd actually read a book. It's called The Art of Thinking Clearly. The Art of Thinking Clearly. Which I think is a lost art. Just based upon the video that we just saw. People are not really thinking. Whether or not they're not hearing or not comprehending. So let's just say they're not thinking. We're just going to assume they're not thinking. They don't know how to think. So we're going to help them. Because I got a way cooler book. It's called The Bible. And it has a whole lot to say about thinking. Okay? So that's what we're going to do today. Think for a change. That's why we're saying think for a change. We're talking about thinking. You missed the video. What was the video about for Kelly who was in the boudoir? Who wants to tell Kelly what the video was about?
It was about a guy taking a survey, signing a petition to put old people to sleep because they were taking too much money out of the insurance companies. And they wanted to sign a petition that old people would just be put to sleep like dogs.
That's what it's about. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about using your brain. Figure out that that's, you know, maybe really not a good thing to do for old people. Okay, first of all, we have from the top 7 verses about using your mind, or about the mind. Because the Bible has a lot to say about your mind, right? Yeah. I would think that this one is probably the one that comes to your mind when you think about verses. Mm-hmm. Anyone like to read that for us? Luke 10:27. Anybody?
Me?
Are you able to see?
Okay. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself."
That's probably the one that comes most to mind. What do what are the verses about the mind? That one. You're love the Lord your God with your mind, your heart, your deal with your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. That would be, but there's other ones too, and they sort of just reinforce, and that's why we run through those. Romans 8:6, anybody?
Yes. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace.
Yes. Setting your mind. Right, your mind. And again, the mind is really something more sort of soul and mind. In seminary, they're sort of, aren't those sort of synonymous in the, you're sort of, it's a dimension where you're, you know, it's not apart from your soul, your thinking. But there's another one too, Romans, there's a lot to say. 12:2, you want to read that, Stephanie?
Sure.
Are you able to?
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Good, acceptable, perfect. And of course, we had been talking about last year, talking about the transformation, right? Transforming your mind, transforming the way you're thinking. Because obviously, in San Diego, there's a lot of people that need their minds transformed. But again, I don't think it's because of San Diego. I think you could have done that same experiment in the West End on any given Sunday, and you would have the same result, which is so extremely troubling. But again, I mean, we're just not going to explain to see that, you know, if the Bible talks about it, it's probably important,
right?
But the fact is, we don't really think about thinking. We don't think about our thinking. But I think it's especially important when we're making the big decisions that we're making to be thinking about how we're thinking. Amen. All right. Okay, we're winding down. We got a couple more to go. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Any volunteers?
I'll read it.
Okay.
For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
We have the mind of Christ. Because at that point at which we accepted him as our personal Savior, he gave us a new mind, right?
Amen.
So why are we thinking with the old one? The new one. Use the new one. Use the new one. Because when you're thinking with the new one, you're thinking like him. And that's the whole point. So we really wanted to drive home. Okay, Philippians. We're now in Philippians 2:2. Okay, I will complete my joy, my being, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. We're to be of one mind, right? That one mind is the Lord's mind. That's what we're to be focused on. And this is one of my personal faves, just because it has deep personal significance for me. Being one of the first verses, I mean, well advanced in years, having my father teach me a verse. And it really, really stuck with me, because I do talk about this one very, very much. Philippians 4:7. And we know the first part of that, Philippians 4:6-7, is usually what I talk about. Anyone know how that starts?
And faith with submitted on the same thing. Will guard your heart and your mind and do the rest.
Yay! Thank you, Kelly. But it starts out. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, be made known to God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses comfort. But, you know, not being anxious, but really, you know, letting that guard, it guards your heart, it guards your mind. Got one there, darling? There you go. I love that verse. Because it's like, you know, because the anxiety, if you have the anxiety, you don't have the peace. and ample. So which would you rather have? Have the peace.
Don't get out there. And last but not least, Hebrews 8:10, any brave soul wanting to read that?
I can. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Yes, it's imprinted upon your mind, upon your heart, those things. Now, these seven verses, you know, indicate that our minds are always on His mind. Well, let me see if I say that right. Our minds are always on His mind, and our minds should be on His. His mind's always on our... No, He's always thinking about us. Mm-hmm. We need to always be thinking about Him. In fact, it should be one and the same, amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, y'all tracking with me?
Yep.
Tracking with me, good. Because we're going to get you to Jesus, so brave. Crash course in civics. Y'all take civics. What is civics? Anybody? What is civics? What is civics class? It's been a while for some of us.
It's kind of talking about the political system, government.
Yes, you're governed. How are you being governed, right? Which is something you ought to be thinking about. You would hope that people would have basic knowledge before they step into the booth about what they're doing and why. You're hoping, you're praying. Right? Because what are we doing this year? What people? What are we doing?
We're picking a president.
We're picking lots of other people too. We're picking a president. The big guy. How many parties we have?
Well, you have two major parties and two minor parties as of right now, as we speak.
Yeah, we basically have two.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's others, the Libertarian and all that.
And Green Party. Green and Libertarian are two minor parties.
How many? Yes, Prince Chancellor.
I point to the one we don't want to have choice.
I'm sorry.
I point to the one we don't want to have choice.
We really do have a choice, and that's what we're talking about. We really do have a choice. Thank you, Kelly. We really do have a choice. And that's what we're talking about. Okay. How many candidates? We got the two, right?
Two.
And you know the vice president.
Two.
What's a platform?
It's the ethical beliefs or whatever they what the controversial, how they stand on controversial issues. I guess you should say.
Not controversial issues, but just issues. What do they believe in?
What do they believe in?
It's a statement of belief. Okay, sort of an outline of what's on their mind.
Right?
Okay, so disclaimer, and probably some people wouldn't even venture into this area for, you know, historical reasons about, we're not supposed to be talking about that in church. I disagree. I think we need to be talking about these things in church. Because it matters. It matters. But we are not suggesting that you vote for a particular candidate. That is verboten. That is not cool.
Just vote.
I'm asking that you think and then vote. All right? Ooh, that takes really tiny small. But it's the Republican Party platform.
Yeah, please.
All right. Republican Party platform. And it's really, really tiny. Small, so there's a whole bunch. But suffice to say, if you go online, it's pages and pages and pages. But they sort of narrowed it down. So there's some basic beliefs, okay? And thankfully, too small, really. I had to go in and really just make this, because I'm a Democratic platform, and on and on. But just narrowing it down, and it's their basic beliefs.
now what I want to do is talk specifically about, we're not going to go into all the things. This is everything they believe. But we're going to focus on those things that are of extreme significance for us as believers. Amen? The Republican Party platform is this. And I really sort of hit on two issues that are extremely important. I believe that our institution of traditional marriage is the foundation of society. As a Republican, if you're a Republican, you're in agreement with this statement. And that culture should respect and protect life. There's a whole lot of other stuff on there. Right? But I'm thinking, whoopee, to narrow it down, I think these are pretty much top of importance, right? Yes, Kelly.
How can you say the Republican people in
Because groups of people who identify as Republicans get together and talk about these things right faster.
That's right.
Give us just a little thumbnail. I think we have time. Pastor, you were involved in devising one of the party's platforms.
The way that works is that the people in the parties get together. They have conventions before the election, every election year. And also on every presidential election year, also on the two-year cycle, generally, everybody will get together. And it starts down at least, I can only speak to one side because I've only been on one side, but at least what happens in the conventions that I go to is it starts at the local level. People, they know there's going to be a platform, and they submit the things that they would like to be in that platform. And then a committee meets and decides, kind of distills all that, all the ones that are the same, they put it together into one coherent statement, and then that goes up to the next level, so that what you have at the end of the process is a set of principles. Now, granted, not everybody in the party is going to agree with every plank in the platform, but if you are aligning yourself with a particular platform, you are in effect stating, these are the things that I believe in. You may take issue with one or two, and obviously everybody has different sets of things that are important to them. But you're essentially saying, I'm standing behind this. I call myself a Republican or I call myself a Democrat. These are the things that we stand for.
Because when you're seeing two people out there debating, we're seeing two people, but they're only a representation of a whole system that's behind them. You understand that?
Yeah.
That when either one becomes elected, and one of the two will win, it's only two people, they bring an entourage of people in with them to implement their ideas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we have some relatives that were part of this in the past, and they will tell you this is, you know, one comes in and the other comes in, and it's just a total changeover. So it's more than one person. We focus on one person, one face, one voice. It is far larger than that. We become distracted about some personal things that might irritate us. These are probably two of the most unpopular candidates in history of all time, but regardless, I'm digressing. They are a representation of a thought process of people's collective thinking, the collective mind, right? And that's what we're talking about. Okay, the Democratic Party platform on this particular subject. We're talking about traditional marriage, right? Republican, traditional marriage. But if you're a Democrat, I'm sure we probably have some, what do they believe? Anybody want to read that, or you want me to? Oh,
They're on the liberal side. You can bet on that.
Well, okay, really believe in traditional marriage?
No.
I believe. You are a big fan of marriage.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. No,
it's
all good. But what?
Not just traditional.
Not traditional marriage. Democratic. And this is a plank. Okay, picture a platform. It's made up of planks, right? So this is one of the planks. I would say this is a really, really important plank. Democratic Party platform. Guaranteeing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights.
Right.
Democrats applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized that LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person that they love. That's what they believe.
They can be buried in the eyes of man, but they won't be buried in the eyes of God.
Well, it is what they believe. Okay. Second party platform. We support a progressive vision of religious freedom. We support a progressive vision of religious freedom that respects pluralism and rejects the misuse of religion for discrimination. That's what they believe. Just saying. They think they have a better idea about such things. You're asking me. We're speaking about the Democratic.
We're talking in generalities.
Again, not everybody believes everything and everybody. And that's good. Because we need to be questioning everything we believe in. All right. As far as a culture should respect and protect life, is the belief of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party platform. And I'm reading verbatim, I'm not making this up. This is online, go look for yourself. I'm asking you to use your minds.
Right.
Don't believe me. Use your minds. We believe unequivocally. What does unequivocally mean?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. We believe, without a doubt, like the majority of Americans, that every woman should have access to quality reproductive health care services. Does that sound pretty good? Including safe and legal abortion.
Is there such thing as legal abortion?
Yes. It's absolutely legal.
In the eyes of God, no.
Well, this is a governmental. Regardless of where she lives, how much money she makes, or how she's insured.
If you use your mind, you won't want to go with
that. Okay. Pretty stark, right? I jumped to birthdays. What? Isn't that funny? God's like, we want to jump to birthdays. Yes, we want more birthdays, right? Birthdays are good. Okay. I have to stand back. This is all I'm asking, is that we use our minds as we make a really, really incredible decision. Because it's going to affect everything for a long time. Realize, too, that this next person, whomever that person is also going to be instrumental in appointing justices to the Supreme Court that make
will make decisions, and those justices do not have term limits. They're appointed for life. No, they are appointed until death do us part from them.
And we can't just put them to sleep.
And we cannot put them to sleep, praise God, for now. Let's just end on this note. End on the note. End on the book. Deuteronomy 39. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Amen. That's all I'm asking. I'm asking that we continue to pray. This is going to be one way or another. We're all going to look back at this, I believe, and it's going to be a turning point. And so it's very, very important that we make a wise decision. That's all I'm asking. Use your mind before you get in that booth. Do go to the booth. Do vote. But vote with your mind. Amen. So Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for the wisdom, a collective wisdom that we make the proper decisions. We have a certain set of beliefs, and we yet, praise God, still have the freedom to exercise those rights given to us, not by government, given to us by you. They are God-given rights, the God-given right to vote. Well, yeah, that's how we exercise it, to make the right decisions, Lord. We just pray for wisdom, or we cry out to you that in this time, we look beyond all the petty stuff and really, really focus in on what's really, really important. Because we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. We just pray for the wisdom to take full advantage of that opportunity. That it may be pleasing in your sight. We pray for these things in the holy name of Christ Jesus, your Son, and our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen.